This is a replay of the Thursday night, February 5th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call, and I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday. Evenings Analyst Sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together if I live that long. It's quite the story. And if you're calling right now, I'm going to be putting you on hold because John is out buying drugs. actually, I'll tell you the whole story. It's not quite as it seems, but I think I just hung up on the people who were calling too. All right. So you see what happened was one of those. On the way back to this studio from the new studio, which we're constructing, John says, kind of hungry. I said, yeah, let's stop. Let's go through a drive. He said, oh, just go in. What do you want? I'm not going to name the restaurant. It's fast food. However, I will put it on the website. You know, I detest people who use their microphones as a soapbox. So I'm not going to tell you who it was. But if you really want to know, I'll have it on the site later. But anyway, so fast food. We go in and I order. Seemingly okay. I mean, you know, and I mean, how bad can it get? They're looking at pictures of the food on the cash register, and they click on this and that and whatever, and $27.10. That's what it came to for two fairly small sandwiches and one drink. All right, so I'm there. 15 minutes later, I'm still there. Now no one's showing up at all. The people who were behind the cash register, they're now in the kitchen. Eventually, about 20 minutes after I order, fast food, my, you know what, the kitchen lost your order. How big is this place? What do you mean the kitchen lost? Well, they never got it. I'm speechless at this point, obviously. So could you tell me again what you ordered? I'm trying to, but she's now not comprehending the words. And by the way, English was her primary language. And so then she says, well, can I see your receipt? Maybe I can do it that way better. So she takes my receipt and she goes away. And it's another 15 minutes. All right, now I'm starting to watch the clock because I think I am not going to make it back to that studio in time. And so finally, I get my secret weapon. I get John. I said, John, get out of the car and into this place and save me from what I'm about to do to these people. And so here I am, precisely. That's right. I need someone to restrain me from the way this is going to go down. Bottom line is I'm watching them making sandwich after sandwich for the drive-thru and absolutely nothing for me. And then this kid saunters over, and fairly young and all that fine. All right. And I said, is anybody in charge here? No, there really isn't. Okay. So so much for management. Yeah. And I said, well, here's the deal. I have to be at work. I have to be at work in 15 minutes, and I am 20 minutes away. So I need this now or else. Well, it's coming right up. Another 5 minutes, nothing. Now, at this point, John is like, we're out of here. I said, wait a minute, I want my $27.10 back. All right, well, the bottom line is that's another 5 minutes because the guy can't figure out how to do a refund. And finally, he says, we don't give refunds. You know, like, couldn't you have told me that minutes ago? Yeah. And so I said, can I at least have my receipt back? And John's at this point tugging me out of the plane. We're leaving. Well, so I did get my receipt back, and I'm hungry. But in the meantime, we were not only going to stop off for my sandwich, but John was going to stop off for his prescription. And, you know, I mean, as of just this week, it's 3 years post-hemorrhagic thalamic stroke. So you don't want to fool around with those meds. You want to take them when you need them. So all that is to say, he's left the building. He's out on the street buying drugs. No, he's going down to the drugstore, obviously. And he'll be back shortly. But if you're calling, let it ring. I'll put you on hold if I see you, and we'll do it to it. Because that's about all we got. Yeah, I had had John call Adam on the way back, and we did make it in record time. I hope those red light cameras or whatever the speed cameras aren't in our wake, because John was driving and he decided he was going to get here as quickly as possible. We made it. All right, I'm still hungry, but yeah, there were at least five people in this fast food restaurant that had a brisk, but not, you know, it wasn't like In-N-Out Burger where they're, you know, skating around the block with cars. No, there were, you know, one or two cars, and that's it. No one in the restaurant whatsoever, not a soul. And so fast food, it was 35 minutes later or so, and I still haven't eaten. But here we are, and, you know, that's my story, and I'm stuck with it. So other than that, we can talk about whatever's on your mind. But again, when John comes back, he'll properly screen the calls. But for now, I'll just answer them as I see them. That's right. I'll interrupt myself from everything else that I'm otherwise doing. So 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. Monday, we have, of course, Monday Night Trivia. Looking forward to that. I want to see if it's a live show or not, so we can figure out what's up with that. But it is live, but I mean, if it's preempted or anything like that. And let's see. No, it's a full show starting at 10. So that's a date for Monday Night Trivia. I'm already ready for you of sorts. So let's see. With that in mind, can I actually do this? Yeah, I think so. So I have no idea who we're talking to. Yeah, it's unscreened. Well, hell, Art Bell made a career of it. So who are you and where are you calling from?
I got to quit laughing first after that story.
Oh, man, I tell you what. Yeah, and I really did need John, because I was going to come at them. You know, I mean, I'd be in jail at this point. It would not have been pretty, you know.
Was it a lot of young people, though, also, Raleigh?
Yeah, they, absolutely they were young. I would say if one of them was 22, that was the senior member.
In high school, I worked at a fast food restaurant, but I know I wasn't that slow.
Oh, this was insane. But, I mean, I couldn't believe that it takes her over 15 minutes to come out and say the kitchen didn't get your order. You know, it's like, where is the kitchen, Des Moines? I mean, what's up with you people? So, yeah.
And you're in Arizona?
Yeah, I am.
Maybe the heat and humidity got to him today, if there is any heat and humidity in Arizona.
But there's always heat. There's never humidity. We live without humidity. But no, it was probably 80 degrees today. And
Gosh.
You know, that. So it wasn't, for Arizona, that's cool. So it wasn't warm. Here we are. I don't know.
I'm laughing with you, but not at you, okay?
No, understood. But the other thing, of course, is, you know, I guess this is when you know I'm a fossil, when I complain about what things cost. But really, two sandwiches, $27.10? It's just, you know, this is fast food? I don't know. Yeah, so...
When you said that, I'm sitting here listening to you. That's what I thought. It's like, this isn't fast food.
But it is. You know, I stopped going to Subway. You practically had to get an estimate on a sandwich. We were there once, two people, two sandwiches, it was $39. I'm like, what happened to the $5 foot long? Well, it's long gone.
Right. Jeez. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the reason I'm calling, and because your vast knowledge of music, you probably already knew this, but I didn't know this till this morning. If he was still alive, today would have been Hal Blaine's birthday.
Okay, yeah.
Did you know that?
Yes, and he was interesting because, of course, as you know, it's a big thing, and I guess he was born what in 29, I think. He was not young.
29?
But yeah, wow. I think so. You know, that whole thing.
What a drummer.
Oh, absolutely. A killer drummer. No doubt about that. But, he invented the term the wrecking crew. There wasn't one before he came up with this. And
thank you for saying that. Yeah. Since noon, I've been wrecking my brain since noon off and on until now. I could not think of the nickname they had. And yeah. I was so close, Raleigh. It's like, and at one time, I think it starts with a W, the Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, the Wrecking Crew. And, you know, hell, he can write any book he wants and claim anything he wants, and that's all perfectly fine. It was a fairly close-knit group of, top-level studio musicians, and most of them worked on the same sessions. But what was so good is Carol, and I can't think of her last name right now, but the bassist of the group, she took such umbrage with Hal Blaine about this that she gave him no peace, and he would come back and say, well, she's older, you know, she's demented now, she doesn't remember, but she remembered all too well, actually. So yes,
yeah.
I think Hal Blaine died like what 6 years ago now or so, I think.
I don't know, but you're thinking about 6 years ago, huh?
I think so, okay. And I think it was Palm Desert, because he had retired to Palm Desert. His name was actually Harold Belsky. I would see that sometimes on the sheets.
Wow.
So that's how he got paid. But he was playing jazz and big band. You know, like I say, he was born late 20s, I'm sure. So he was certainly a certifiable adult by the time he was called to some of those sessions. But it was lucrative. And, I'd say the 60s, 70s, he did very well, to say the least.
Yeah, I recorded two songs off the radio today. I don't remember the titles now, but one thing I remember about Hal Blaine, I'm a big Beach Boys fan, being born in Encino, California, till right after the Manson murders.
Mm-hmm.
But him working with Brian Wilson. So,
yeah.
Okay, enough about that. I got one. I need you to help me out some lyrics since you're. You're the woman to go to.
Oh, I don't know about that, but what are they?
Well, last night, the woman you was talking to, she said a lyric or two, a line from a sentence from a song,
yeah.
And you told her the title. Well, I just went through my phone last night after your shift was done, but do you remember the times of your life?
Well, it's a Paul Anka song, but it was also a commercial. So he made a lot of money on that. Yes, but Paul Anka wrote that.
Okay, who sings it?
Well, he probably did on that. But it was a big commercial for someone, and I'm trying to think of who it was a commercial for. I want to say Kodak, but I don't think it is. But yeah.
I'm writing this down. So.
Yeah, but the times of your life. Yeah, I'm sure that's Paul Anka.
Do you remember, like, roughly what year, what decade that would have came out, 60s?
No, I'd go with 70s on that.
70s, okay.
Yeah, but let me see if I can look at this computer here and see if that song's on here.
I probably have only heard it maybe 3 or 4 times in my life, but it's always going through the radio dial, you know, and so I catch it mid-song or at the end. It's like... And it's like, you know, I'm going to ask Raleigh.
Yeah, no, that's what it is, all right. But let's see. Is it on here? Times of Your Life. Let's see. Here we go. All right. It's not one of my favorite, but I apparently liked it enough to put it on the computer. So here you go.
Good morning, yesterday.
That it?
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Oh, sure. And that's one of those things that was an absolute hit. So you should have no problem finding that on YouTube or anywhere else.
Okay. Yeah, I wrote everything down. Did it say the year, though, also?
No, I'm lucky I wrote Paul Anka Times of Your Life. This is not from a service.
This I know, Biggie.
But let me look at discos, and I can tell you what that would be in terms of year. But let's see. Disco. All right. It's one of my favorite sources when I'm looking things up, but let's see. Come on. It takes me so long. People who think that I cheat and look things up. No, I'd be awfully slow in talking if I did that. Let's see. What is this? 1975.
Okay, I'm going to write that down to you. All right. Yep. Okay. I know you got a bunch of people to call, but right. I appreciate you.
My
going
pleasure.
Out of your way.
Good to hear
and,
from
and,
you.
Am I still on the request line for It's All Right, Mama by Elvis Presley?
Absolutely. It's coming up tonight, and I can tell you if you're. Are you planning to stay awake? Because I'll move it up if you want.
No. I'm a night owl, and I'm retired from the labor's union, so I'm up all night.
You will hear it tonight.
That's fine.
Okay, thanks. Okay, bye. Bye, Marty.
Have a good night and get something to eat.
Thanks. Yeah, I hope. Yeah, all right, so there you have that. Marty will absolutely hear it. And, all right, enough of the times of your life. There's only so much you can hear at the times of your life. All right, so I am about to put two people on hold. If I can manage. Nope, I actually hung up on them. Oh, that's why I need John. Let's try this. I'm trying to answer the phone. I know, it's the little things. Let me try this line. Well, let me do this instead while I'm figuring out where I am and everything else. We'll do it in moments here on WGN Radio. Oh, it's I'm sorry, and I didn't realize Sea Crane was coming up right now, but I do have my Sea Crane. So, oh man, that CC Wi-Fi 3 is really a terrific, terrific radio. I always say that everything Bob Crane developed gives you the best reception, and that is so true, AM and FM, but it's also true with Wi-Fi radio, because if you have a wireless router or a wireless access point, you know exactly how frustrating it is when you're losing a connection, it's buffering ad nauseum or whatever. Well, you want something that will actually connect to your router and give you something resembling a signal. Well, I'll tell you what, that's where the CC Wi-Fi 3 excels. But that's not the big selling factor, although it's really nice. The big selling factor is it's really easy to use. And that is particularly important if you're, like many people, not one to read the manual and all that. And, you know, I know that because John is so good at anything video. But when it comes to anything audio, it's a different world for him. And when we got one of the CC Wi-Fi 3s, he managed to just put it together in minutes, you know, turning it on, hooking it up and all that. I said, all right. So it is absolutely easy to use. But, of course, if you don't have a Wi-Fi radio, you want one. Why? Well, there's no app, there's no charge, there's no microphone, there's no ads on the screen, there's no screen, there's no monthly fee, full-size remote control, and it is just terrific. Now, what are you going to hear? Everything. Thank God they didn't have Wi-Fi radio in the 50s. I never would have left my bedroom. That's right, never. Now, you will hear literally tens of thousands of radio stations from all over the country and all over the world, as well as, of course, so many things that are internet only and podcasts and the like. And it's just a terrific, terrific radio. It's got presets and a bunch of other stuff. If you go to ccradio.com, you can, in fact, look at it, read about it, find out more. It's a great catalog because it's not only great products, it's great information about radio too. Now, if you can't go online, you probably don't want a Wi-Fi radio, but if you're thinking about buying one for a friend, or if you've got any questions before you order, they've got terrific customer service, and you can call them anytime at 800-522-8863. That's 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, do it. Go to ccradio.com. Look at that CC Wi-Fi 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio.
Go and down to meet my little Bobby Sox. Shove a big nigger in the music box. Splash for a while in my Bermuda shorts. And then I'm gonna rot her some Ella Malt. I'm gonna nip sip every day. Nip sip every night. Nip sip every day. The nipping and the sipping the sip. Time away. I'm a rock candy popper with sugar lips a honey dripper to my fingertips. Ha! I go for soda and a root beer too. For a little light spice, ooh, shooby-doo. Nip, sip, every day. Nip, sip, every night. Nip, sip, every day. Just nipping and sipping the time away. Going to the party, get with a bunch. Got a dollar for my nipping and a dime for my lunch.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. The Clovers, and that was John and coming to you. So I want to hear me some Clovers. Sure, so how about Nip Sip, 1955 on Atlantic. And that was written by Rudy Toombs, who was just wonderful. And you would have known more about him if he wasn't murdered. And he was older. And I say that because normally you think about the rock and rollers of, you know, the mid-50s and all their kids, right? No. Rudy Toombs was born in Monroe, Louisiana around 1914 or so. But nonetheless, he was probably one of the more prolific composers of doo-wop songs. He did a lot of work writing and arranging stuff for Atlantic. Ahmet Erdogan just loved him. And so it was that that he wrote Nip Sip. Yeah, and Ruth Brown actually credited Rudy with a major reason for her success. And I think that's probably well put. And she was saying, he taught me how to take a moody blues ballad and make it into a bouncy jump. Indeed. All right, so yeah, as far as that murder, he was living in Harlem, and there were robbers in the hallway of his apartment. And they murdered him. And that was like 1962. All right, so 888-876-5593. Oh, in fact, John in Covington is here. So, John, you heard your request.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
That was quick.
Yeah.
That you got to it. I didn't want to bump anybody. I had them, you know what I mean? But thank you so much for playing it. In fact, I was listening to it today.
Oh, good.
And, main reason I called is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to tell you what I did at the casino today.
Oh, yeah?
I won't say how much because I'm not like that. But I predicted that the Seahawks will win. Go ahead and lay the 4.5. I always go, when it's the Super Bowl, I always go by the quarterbacks. And Seattle's quarterback is much better, so go ahead and lay the 4.5. Seattle will win. And I also made a wager on the wide receiver, Cooper Kupp, to receive, to catch more than 38.5 yards.
Yeah. Wow.
So, Merry Christmas, everybody.
Well, yeah.
And I did want to tell you, about 2 weeks ago, my wife and I got White Castles to take home,
mm-hmm.
And we get home, and there's no pickles on the White Castle. That's what makes the sandwich.
Well, yeah, it's got to have two little pickle slices. Absolutely.
That's right. I was hotter than a match, I'll tell you.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
Thanks, bro.
All right,
thanks for everything you do.
Good
thank
to talk
you.
To you. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, okay, I'll tell you how out of it I am. I rarely know what is going on sports-wise, and I had no idea that the Super Bowl was this week, but I was entering some commercials in the radio stations I have into the system so they'd play, and one of them was having the quarterback sale on Saturday. I said, oh, quarterback, it must be time for the Super Bowl. And sure it is. So, yes, Cal Ranch is having a quarterback sale, don't you know? And the one I remember so well is 3 years ago, it was in Phoenix. Why was this a problem, Raleigh? Well, I mentioned so John was in the hospital, and they didn't expect him to make it. You know, most people with hemorrhagic strokes in the thalamus don't. And so I'm driving back and forth to Mayo, and from Globe, that's really far. So I'm in a hotel in Scottsdale, of all places, because it's near Mayo. And what happens? The room rate went from $69 a night to $600 for the 2 nights surrounding the Super Bowl. Yeah, they knew a good thing when they saw it, and I just couldn't believe it. Yeah, so that's when I think Super Bowl, I think, yeah, boy, I know what's going to happen to hotel rates. But as far as Seattle versus the Patriots, and it's interesting, when I used to have to give sports scores on the air many, many years ago. You know, Seattle, okay, but the Patriots, man, they couldn't get arrested. So, yeah, good season for them, clearly. All right, so 888-876-5593. Mike is in Elmwood Park. Welcome to WGN Radio, Mike.
Yeah, Raleigh, I know Carol Kay was the...
Yes, Carol Kay. Absolutely, Carol Kay.
She actually played on, I believe, Chris Montez's Let's Dance.
Yeah, right, absolutely, on Monogram. And at the time, she was not doing as much work and not as much bass work. She did a lot of just standard guitar stuff as well.
Right.
Yeah.
How about Tony Tedesco?
Uh-huh.
Did that ring a bell?
Yeah.
That's another one. Can I get a request?
I think it's Tommy Tedesco is the only thing.
Tommy Tedesco, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and he's been gone now, sadly, 30 years.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Can I get a request time for Monday night?
Well, it'll be Tuesday night because Monday night will be trivia, but what you want to hear?
Venus and Bougie by Jimmy Clanton.
Oh, all right, on the Ace label, you betcha.
I appreciate that.
Oh, my friend. You know, he's still around.
I know he is.
Yeah, still performing and everything. Just amazing.
You know, that tour was written for his wife. I just had bypass surgery, so I just been out about 2 weeks. Yeah, but that tour was written for his wife, which was his girlfriend at the time.
Right. So, absolutely. Yeah. I will be happy to play that for you.
I appreciate that.
Right.
Thank you very
Thanks,
much,
Raleigh. Good
you
deal.
Have a great evening.
You too.
Yep.
So, 888-876-5593. And yes, John is back from buying drugs. And yeah, I know. And And again, at the pharmacy. All right. But it's such a bitter story when I just say, oh, he's out buying drugs now. All right. Kimberly and Dalton, welcome back to WGN Radio. Kimberly. We lost Kimberly.
Hi.
There you are. All right. I thought we lost you.
No, I didn't hear you right away. I'm sorry. I didn't hear there was like a dead part in the connection.
Huh. All right. Well,
so
you're there now.
I didn't hear you right away.
So what's up tonight?
Anyway, I was calling. That was Kodak commercial.
Yeah, it was Kodak. Okay, I thought it might be. Yeah.
And I think Michael Landon's family was in those commercials, I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was that.
A lot
and
of money.
I had some.
Paul Anka did very well on that particular song. Yes, a lot of money on that.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you were talking about the fast food. Some things like that used to happen to me at some Starbucks through the years where you stand in there and in their drive through, they're pumping them out like crazy for the drive through.
Yeah.
And then the Dunkin' Donuts, I don't know, you know, different states have different people, but around Chicago, many people of Indian descent own our Dunkin' Donuts. So you talk about trying to get a refund.
It took me
2 months at one time. I hung onto the receipt so I could meet with the owner because the guy did it wrong. Never got it. It took me 2 months to get a refund. And a couple of the places, they don't understand when there's a mistake to refund the...
Exactly.
The rent, you know, to do the refund at the register. And, you know, so there's quite a few interesting points like that. I can sympathize with you greatly.
Right, and these places are making pretty good money because you mentioned them, Dunkin' Donuts. They're Inspire Brands now, and Inspire, you know, Vulture Capital, obviously, private equity, as they say. They paid $11.3 billion, and this is 100% franchised. So there's big money in that. Inspire also has Arby's and Sonic and Jimmy John's and Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. A lot of them, yeah. And the other thing is, too, I you know, a lot of times, about 2 times out of 10, you go to McDonald's and you've got to stand there and really explain because, like my mother mentioned, my grandpa came, you know, there's no crime in coming from somewhere.
Sure.
But get with the program.
Yeah.
Become American, learn the language. Because I'll tell you, you know, the gets through in McDonald's sometimes, even the managers don't speak English well. I mean, that's the other end of that coin, too. I mean, it's you know, my, I don't know what
my favorite story about McDonald's in that is they decided that they were going to do away with all the people that were operating the drive-thrus and all that, that they would outsource it. So instead of having people who maybe came from third worlds, all that, or were still in junior high, God only knows, they said, we'll outsource it. And so the market they decided to test it in was Honolulu. And where they outsourced it to was El Paso. So this lasted less than a month. I mean, there were some who told me it was less than a week. Yes.
I know. It's crazy. Do you ever get anything delivered from, like, say, like a Walmart or Target or anything like that?
Well, yeah, I have them. I have them sent to Dropbox addresses. Yes.
Oh, because that's the other end of the coin too. I think a lot of the people that deliver for Walmart now are, you know, migrants that came over. And,
you know, I have no idea. Amazon.
I had to really recall. They don't ever understand a question you ask either. And then I had to really pull my high school. I remember how to count in Spanish from 1 to 12.
Oh.
So they want their codes. And I'm standing here pulling out.
Oh, geez.
Quattro. You know,
well, you're lucky if it's Spanish. At least that's a language you've heard before. But then again, there's Amazon, who is now, in some cases, delivering by drone.
Yeah.
So you can't argue with anybody on that.
I know. And it's getting harder, too, because of all this stupid AI. Oh. You know right away the voices aren't real.
Oh, exactly.
You've got to sit there and keep saying live agent six times to finally get somebody.
Yes.
And there's one company. I won't say it, but I actually say, get your blank off the phone and get me a live agent.
You're right.
It's a donkey. It's a donkey.
Yeah.
I say that because I get so frustrated, and it's, you know, and actually after I say that, they'll say, oh, I'll get you someone.
Right. Right. No, I know. And, you know, the sad thing about this is, and I feel really bad for that level one customer service who has to then answer the phone, because by the time you get them, you're fit to be tied. You're just ready to ruin their day because, damn it, you've been waiting for 35 minutes, I tell you what. And it's just as bad with chatting. And chatting, they want it to be all AI, trying to get a real person. Cool.
And they can't answer your question.
Well, that's right. That's right. And the other thing is they never read back on the script to see what it is. What can I help you with? I've written it down three times. You know? Yeah.
But they never can answer the questions. And they refer you to help things, and they never have help. What I'm grateful for is you still can get people at Amazon, Walmart, and our Jewel Osco stores and Target. You can still get people. Although for Walmart, you go through a little bit with the AI more. But to get through to them, but at least you can still get people. There's some companies now you can't even get people. So.
Well, and I think it varies on Walmart to Walmart, because I ordered something that I had to pick up at a Walmart store. And so the first thing, they had big signs and all that, and they wanted you to use your phone app. Well, it's impossible to use your phone app if you don't have a phone. And I had to literally park and walk in, and the person at the customer service desk is giving me a lecture about why I should own a phone. I said, no, the only discussion here is bring me my package. And so she said, well, you have to stand outside by the cars. And it was, it was unbelievable. Somebody comes out and I said, can you get me my package? And no, you have to use your app. I said, I don't have it, you know. So if it says pick it up at the store, I don't chance it anymore. It's like, no, leave it at the address. Done. Yeah.
Well, they're the worst for even getting them to answer a phone in their store for years. That's not before AI. You know, they don't answer their phones well at Walmart. And then even if you call in, and I've done that when I had pickups a few times, they don't answer the phone when they tell you call that number. They don't answer the phone, so you got to get up anyway and go to the door.
Right.
And then they tell you, don't come in. It's, you know, but, well, you didn't answer the phone. You know?
Exactly.
You're not supposed to go through the doors.
Oh, that's great.
So it's so wonderful customer service.
Isn't it, though? Yes, customer disservice is what it is. But, yes, we all put up with it. And that's why everybody is living on their last nerve. You notice that people in general are more aggravated and more angry these days. And I swear, I think it's the digital revolution. You know, whether it's their computer or customer service, they're fit to be tied.
I think technology is causing us more stress when people aren't using their brains as much. They're not thinking as much. They're just, everything's fast. They've got to process all this quickly, and they can't all the time, and it's frustrating. And
sure it is.
We did much better with the file system.
I'm with you 1,000%. And, of course, we're in that that generation, really, I'll say more than that, that century, that is the transition century. You know, 100 years from now, it'll be no different than us turning on, flipping the switch and expecting the lights to come on. Well, of course they come on. But, 100 years ago, not always. So, we're in that time. And people say, aren't these exciting times? That's not the adjective I'd use. Thank you very much.
No, and it allows people to put so much fake and misinformation and make people think different.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't want to get political, but it just makes people think differently because their people are copying, putting fake pictures, fake information, and then people get in a group and they believe the wrong stuff, and it's really bad. It's really bad.
It'll be interesting to see, and I'll be glad that I won't be here to see it.
Oh, you might be.
Oh, God, don't say that. All right. Well, good to talk to you, Kimberly. Thank you for calling and my best to Jean.
My mom says good night, Raleigh.
Yeah, good night, Jean. Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So 888-876-5593, WGN Radio. Well, this is a disaster. I'm seeing the beach ball of death right now on the computer that plays the bumpers. And worse yet, I know it's going to be Control Alternate Delete or a little different than that with Apple, but you know what I mean. And probably I'll lose all the requests. So you know what I'm going to be doing during the news. But right now what I'm not doing is playing a bumper. And I apologize to the Velvets. It would have been Tonight Could Be the Night, which was Jimmy P's third of his six-pack. And we'll get to it right after the news. Meantime, Robert in LaGrange is back on WGN Radio. So Robert, welcome back.
Raleigh, I just have two requests that I remembered tonight from last night, but this could be for next week. One of them is the Olympics, Shimmy Like Kate.
Oh, that's a wonderful song. I love that song.
Oh.
Yeah, Shimmy Like Sister Kate. Yeah, absolutely.
That's
on RV.
It, yeah.
On RV, yes.
Yeah, right. That was a song from the 20s or 30s, I think, originally. But anyway, yeah. And then the other one is a song, I can't think of the artist, it was a lady's choice on American Bandstand when they were on five nights a week, a ballad called I Wish That We Were Married.
Oh, of course. Yes, yes. Kathy and the Innocents. Kathy Young and the Innocents. Sure.
Oh, was it? Oh, okay. Yeah, those were the two that I remember.
There's somebody else who did that because it was actually a guy. He sounds like a girl, but it was a guy.
I was going to say, yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that was the hit.
Right.
Yeah. And he does sound just like a gal.
I thought it was a gal at first.
Yeah, right.
And especially
Ronnie and the Highlights. Ronnie and the Highlights. That's
Wow.
Yes. And that was on the Joy label. The only other act I knew on Joy was Senor Wences. So, Ronnie and the Highlights, and Ronnie was a guy, 1962. All right.
Right. And then that, during the bridge when he'd talk about crying, boy, that crying was something.
I've often thought, I always wanted to make the soliloquies into one long playing conversation, edit it that way. But the crying was another thing. I have thought about taking R&B songs with crying because there's so many wonderful, wonderful. We'll do that some night.
So many wonderful criers.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, Raleigh.
Okay, thanks. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye now.
All right, good deal. So I forget if there was a break or not. I'm assuming there is, and we'll be back right after the news. And no break. Oh, okay, thank you. I had the pot up, and Adam said no break. All right, very good. Even better, which gives me another minute and a half to talk to Jim in Drexel Hill. So, Jim, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi. I'm just curious. WGN is from Chicago. When I listen to WGN on Friday or any other time, I hear commercials about businesses in Delaware County and Philadelphia.
Right.
Is that normal?
Yeah, because you're not hearing it on WGN radio. You're hearing it on your stream.
If I heard it on the radio, I wouldn't have them commercials.
No, you wouldn't have that. You'd have others. But what's interesting is some of the broadband suppliers, some of the cable companies, the way they're set up, they don't report the right location. So, like, poor poor Jim in Richmond, Wisconsin, never hears anything that's near him. You know, so if your ISP has the world thinking that you're in Cedar Rapids, then you're going to hear Iowa commercials. But in your case, you're in Delco, so you'll hear that. It's what they drop into the stream.
Oh, okay. And if I do get it on the radio, I won't hear it. Okay. Nope. I'm sorry about it.
No,
that makes sense.
Glad you called. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Okay. Thank you.
All right. So, let's monetize them any way we can. We'll get to Mitch in Baghdad after the news, and you too. And yes, we'll figure out how to get all of these wonderful bumpers and the rest of Jimmy P's six pack on without delay on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Odessa's own, The Velvets. Tonight Could Be the Night, 1961 on Monument. Yeah, they were really good, but that's sort of a medley of their hit. And that's Jimmy P's third of his six packs. And we've got some Dandeliers and Valentine's and Spinners coming up. All right, and your request too. So we have Mitch, and Mitch is in Baghdad, Kentucky. All right, let me see if I can get the magic twanger to work and say, hey, Mitch, what's up?
I'm having a great night, Raleigh.
Good.
I was in a wreck earlier.
Yeah?
Well, it was the best wreck I ever had. I was at a light. I have a Miata MX-5, and it's a 2011 touring convertible.
Right.
But it's real tiny.
I know them well.
I'm at the stoplight, and there was a girl next to me in, like, a big Escalade. Well, she wanted to turn. I was in the right lane, and she was in the left lane, but she wanted to turn right. And she didn't see me at all because I'm so low down to the ground.
Right.
So she turns in front of me, and there's a big scraping noise. And I'm like, oh, God. And it was it's mostly my mirror. You know how those mirrors, they're made to, they give way
right.
and they bend.
Right.
So that was fine, and we both jump out of the car, and Mark's thinking, oh, God, you know, the police are coming and everything. So we get out, and I said, I think we hit, but I look at her car, and there's nothing wrong. And so she's like, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. I said, you look good, too. I don't see anything. And she kind of glanced at my car, and she said, okay. She said, well, I've got to go. And I was like, okay. I mean, I think most people don't want to exchange insurance anymore because it raises, whether it's your fault or not, it raises your rate.
Right.
So she's like, bye. And I'm like, bye. And it lasted all of like 5 minutes. And then we drove off. I mean, I think it went through one light cycle.
Wow. Wow. Now, let me ask you, we had Miatas in the 90s. We had a 95 and a 99, and the 99 was really nice because it was all tricked out and nice. But the one thing about them that drove me crazy was the noise level in those cars. And, we had the all the possible tops and all that, but they were just noisy. Have they gotten quieter?
Well, yeah, I have what's called a hard top touring car, and it's kind of like, well, I could never get a Miata before because when I sat down and put the top down, my head hit the top.
Right.
So this is bigger. It's not. It's like your normal Miata, and I've had it mistaken for a BMW convertible.
Oh, interesting. Now, the only other thing that always drove me crazy was they were like 2-liter four-cylinder engines.
Yeah, mine's a four-cylinder. It's a six-speed, shift. But, it doesn't – you can fill it up, and it doesn't last. It lasts a couple days.
Yeah.
But It's got a lot of power. That's the thing. It's a six speed. It flies.
See, I don't know. I'd agree with that. It's got a lot of torque. So you'll take off fast, no doubt about it. The torque on that car is excellent. But if you're talking raw power, you're going uphill at 60 miles an hour and you want to pass something, you're going to find out that you don't have the power you thought you did.
Well, I normally don't pass anybody going up the hill. I go in first, so that you really don't, get any speed. You're just, you got the power to go up the hill. And it's amazing. It's actually good in snow. One time I had to, it was an the road hadn't been shoveled yet or nothing.
Okay.
And Mark was in the Jeep ahead of me, and he just takes off. He's in a four-wheel drive Jeep, and I'm behind him. Well, I'm sliding, my tires are spinning, and I'm like, come back. But he never did. So I just put it in first and just gunned it. And the tread of my tires dug the grooves, and I just slowly went up the hill.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, it worked, because I wasn't about to get out.
No.
So, yeah. But anyway, I was listening to you. My request is Aretha Franklin, Until You Come Back to Me, but the live version with Stevie Wonder. And I did just learn this today. Stevie Wonder wrote it and produced it.
Right. Okay, with Stevie.
Do you remember that?
Yes. I'm writing this down so I won't forget. Okay.
Yeah, it's Stevie Wonder. Well, it's really Aretha Franklin's song, but Stevie Wonder sings it with her. And listen to this. I'm 66 and I'm taking piano lessons.
Good for you. That's wonderful.
Well, have you noticed lately, if you go on Facebook Marketplace, they're giving beautiful pianos away for free. I'm going to get a Baldwin baby grand for nothing.
Yes. Yes, it's really it's really
true. I want
to
put them all in a warehouse when people come to their senses and start selling them.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's been in the news for a while now, especially when people are moving or whatever. They'll just say, not moving that.
Yeah, they don't want it. It was their grandma's, and they're like, do you want this? No, it's too heavy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, if you can land one of those, that'll be really nice.
I'll keep looking at baby grands, but what you have to do is you have to go there, and a lot of them say they need tuning. You want the brand names like Baldwin and Kimball and all them. They seem to be the best quality or whatever. You want to hit those keys and see if they sound tingy, and if they do, you're just getting a piece of furniture. A lot of reason they said they're free is because they're out of tune and they're old, they need to be a lot of work, maybe restrung or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember years ago I had a Schoninger when I was young.
And, never heard.
Yeah, Schoninger were very interesting. And
German?
I don't know. It might have been Swiss. Bernard Schoninger. And but they were here. They were made in New Haven, Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know whether Bernard was always here, but I think the name is Swiss. But in any event, it was really the rage way back when, like the 40s. And now you mentioned Schoninger, and people have never heard of this.
No, I've never heard of it.
Yep. Well, you have to look them up. Schoninger pianos.
I know. Remember Wurlitzer? I think they made Wurlitzer organs.
Well, yeah, of course.
And then, but like I said, the only thing I know Kimball and I know Baldwin, and then there's a couple more big names that I can't recall at the moment. But you want a brand name. You don't want, because they seem to be better made, I guess.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, but you mentioned like Wurlitzer, and of course that goes back to the mid 1800s, and most people today associate them with the jukeboxes from the 50s and the 60s.
Oh yeah,
But the mighty Wurlitzer theater organs were pretty amazing, and they also had acoustic pianos.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And Baldwin bought them, I think, in the 80s. But absolutely.
I'm left-handed, and I don't remember when I was little, my mom gave, I have older twin brothers, and they took guitar lessons, but they never asked me if I wanted to. But I thought I could be Elton John, so I thought, he's, we have some stuff in common, so I thought people will like me and I'll be a star and everything, and everything will turn out all right. So I thought, well, I'm going to start, I'll be a rock star and I'll be Elton John. Because back in the 70s, it was sort of like, that was your top goal, was to be a rock star. And if you couldn't do that, there was so many of them out there, it seemed easy.
Yeah. Think about how many more you've never heard of.
Well, I would probably have been a one-hit wonder. I'm from, I live close to Frankfurt, and that's where Billy Ray Cyrus is from.
Yes, absolutely.
And all he had was that one hit, but his daughter ended up being the moneymaker.
Yeah, well, right, Miley. But yeah, Billy Ray had other records, but yes, the one
Breaky Breaky is all anybody ever remembers.
Well, right, and you know that always comes into the top 10 on the world's worst hit records. But I never really hated
it. Yeah, it is stupid.
Yeah, well, yeah. It you know it's a typical line dance.
But it's very
record.
Country. It's pure country.
Well, it's a line dance record. You know, you go
exactly.
to
yeah, you're right. The Achy Breaky. I remember that. I was 70s, 80s, but remember when Cowboy came back for a while and everybody was wearing cowboy boots?
Oh,
and it was,
sure. That was
what was the John Travolta movie?
Right. The Urban Cowboy thing.
Yeah, I didn't fall for it back then, but as I got older, I inherited a lot of money like in 2019 and I just kind of went crazy and I went to a cowboy store and I got me like several pair of boots, several hats, nice one of those pearl button shirts. And I was just like, I came into the store and I was like, you might as well lock the doors because I'm going to need all the assistance.
Yeah.
But it was just crazy. People are like, what the heck? You know, I'm like, I want those and I want those and I want those.
Well, it's interesting because
I'm kind of bipolar.
Well, yeah, I could see that. But
I get a high off of spending money.
Oh God! Well, you want to watch that?
I bought a boat. The worst thing I did was I bought a boat, and it sits there to this day, and it's never been on the lake.
What kind of boat did you buy?
It was a Stingray something. It was a speed. It was a ski boat, and it held about, I'll say it holds 8 people comfortably, and I water ski, and I thought this Mark is from this area in Frankfurt, and he could show me the rivers, you know, show me all the places he went when he was a kid. I think they had 3 boats when he was younger. And so I thought, you know, this would be a great thing. You know, summertime we go boating and it doesn't cost any money. And now I find out the nightmare of, there's a boat police.
Yeah, of course.
And while I was testing my boat, we get pulled over by the boat police, and I bought it from this Mexican guy that was I just saw it in the yard for sale, and it comes out he didn't renew his license or nothing, so the guy said you got a month to renew these, you know, your numbers on the side of your boat are outdated,
right?
So that kind of made me think maybe this is not the person I want to buy a boat from.
Well, you know what they say about boats is that's a big hole in the water where you just pour money into it. And that's about...
No, I've heard the greatest thing about getting a boat is when you get one, and the second greatest thing is when you get rid of it.
Yes, absolutely.
yeah. But I still want to put it back together, and I want to at least use it, you know, a couple of times or whatever. I mean, it's nice, and I have 3 dogs that could all ride on the boat, so...
So that's fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I used to like Rangers. You know, they're a bass boat, but they were really
nice.
Oh,
yeah. We had a fiberglass boat.
Yeah.
And you could carry it. It was weird because we had, where I grew up in Greendale, we had a what we called a creek. It was Tanner's Creek.
Yeah.
And me and my sister used to carry it down there and put it on, you know, the water. And suppose it was unsinkable.
Wow. Wow.
And we used it for fishing and stuff, and then sometimes we just used it to play around. They didn't have kayaks back then. You had a canoe.
Right. Oh, absolutely. But yeah,
and they were big and metal.
Rangers were fiberglass, and you couldn't carry one, though, but
yeah.
they really were. They were just so nice. And the company was bought years ago, so I don't know that they're the same anymore. But, man,
I've been kayaking with my nieces and nephews. And I find it's really fun, but I got banned from the kayaking place we went to.
Oh, God, what did you do?
Oh, I wasn't paying attention at the lessons to begin. They said, do not go towards the waterfall and because there's a danger of going over it.
Yes.
And I just sort of like wanted to look at it. I totally forgot what she said. And I didn't go over, but I'm sitting there, you know, the edge. And I realized I can't paddle backwards. The current's too heavy.
Uh-oh.
So I had to get out of my kayak and walk to the side. And they watched me. And they come walking over, and they're like, you're banned from it. You're banned for life. You can never ever, you know, come back here again. And I really didn't care, but I was worried about my weed was in the kayak.
Oh, that's so funny. Oh, God. All right.
But anyway.
Well, the life and times of Mitch. Good stories. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
I was going to call Monday night for the trivia, but I thought I'm so bad at it. I kind of hesitated because I was sure I'd get the first one wrong.
Believe me, that doesn't stop anybody. Call next Monday.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye,
Riley. Good deal. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Victor in Silver Spring. There's room for you too on WGN Radio.
Lord, 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 it's on a man all the time. That cha-cha-boom, come on, cha. Oh, well, my baby's always saying that chop, chop, whoa. But Lord, I can't stand it, Lord, I lay her sore. Look how funny, Lord, I can't take it no more. Gonna get in my hat, Lord, and hit the door. I had a talk with my baby, Lord, I tried to find out. I just want the chopping song was all about. My baby wouldn't tell me, but this she said, you know it always reminds me of a busted head. Cha-cha-boom. When we go out walking like a two-folk show, just about the time that I'm feeling good, she meets a friend, she calls her Bessie Mae. Then they get together, you will hear them say,
cha-cha-boom, cha-cha-boom, cha-cha-boom.
WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, and yeah, it's one of Scotty's favorites, and always like that. Of course, the Dandeliers, and that from 1955 on States was that'd be the fourth, I think, of Jimmy P's six packs. So yeah, Cha Cha Boom, Chicago, all the way. All right, Victor in Silver Spring, what is happening tonight, Victor?
Oh, good evening. Good morning. I'm hanging in there. I'm going to have some corrective surgery done to correct the damage done when I had prostate cancer.
Oh.
Looking forward to getting that out of the way.
Yeah.
Anyhow, I was in one of my humorous moods, so I decided to play the Dr. Demento channel earlier today,
uh-huh,
or yesterday now, and I listened a little bit to Weird Al Yankovic. I wonder if he's still living.
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's good. I talked to him one time when he was a guest on WJOK,
uh-huh,
and told him I really liked his material. Yeah. I've always wondered, for example, what did Madonna think of her song "Like a Virgin" turned into "Like a Sturgeon"?
Yeah. I haven't heard anybody who was offended by his parodies, so I would assume she was perfectly fine with it. But you know, he's relatively young because he was a kid when he was on Demento, so he's only about mid 60s right now, so he's very much alive.
Yeah, but. I remember he did I Lost on Jeopardy, and I don't know how he got Don Pardo to get on there and say, you lost on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
You don't get the World Book Encyclopedia. You're a loser.
Yeah. He had a number of things, and they were all pretty creative. And so I never heard anybody who found him to be offensive. Most were thrilled. Hang on a minute, don't go away. So we'll pick it up there after the news right here on WGN Radio.
I finally made it to med school. Somehow I made it through.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, that's Weird Al, all right. And, yeah, like a surgeon, interestingly, I think it was Madonna who actually suggested the idea. She didn't tell him that directly, but she told a friend, and it was passed along to Big Al, and he did it, and she loved it, as far as I know. All right, so, yeah, Don Pardo. And in the video, it's not only Don Pardo on that Lost at Jeopardy. Dr. Domeno's in it, and Art Fleming's in it, so they have kind of cameos. So that's your turn, Victor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I'm wondering, I think one of my favorites that Al did was My Bologna.
Oh, of course. Yeah, to My Sharona, everybody loved that.
Yeah. It's just too bad you don't hear much comedy anymore because you might offend somebody. Because I remember... my neighbor asked me, would I get offended if she sang Three Blind Mice to her kids? I said, no, doesn't mean anything to me, even though I'm blind. But I always sometimes wonder where these nursery rhymes came from. It's probably, you know, making fun of somebody in the British government at the time or something like that. You know, right. Where these nursery rhymes originated from. I know Ring Around the Rosie had something right. to do with the bubonic plague.
Exactly, or so it said. Yeah, but Three Blind Mice goes back really old. I mean, like to the 1600s is my understanding of that. So, you know, there's other people who you set it more to music and stuff like that. But that is that's really old. And yeah, all those things. And yes, is Ring Around the Rosie really that? Well, some, you know, there's arguments. People who are historians for that kind of stuff will tell you, you know, they'll weigh in on both sides of that. But like you mentioned, Three Blind Mice, and there are different versions of it. You know, and that's one of the interesting things. If you go back and look at it, you'll see different takes on it. But as I say, goes back to like 1600s, and Deuteromelia, I think, is what it was. And I couldn't tell you what Deuteromelia is. But that's what it comes from, supposedly. And then, you know, some of the words along the way change. So there are some who say, well, that's referring to this Queen of England and, you know, Queen Mary blinding and executing three Protestant bishops. And others say no. And then they have burned at the stake stories. And so who knows? It hit kids' literature, you know, as a childhood thing, probably the mid-1800s. It was part of a collection of things by Halliwell. And so that's when it showed up as a kids' thing.
And also, I'm looking for a song. I remember hearing it in 1966, and there's a woman singing an opera type of... La 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 la, and it has something to do with a banana plantation.
It's Chiquita Banana by the Peels.
Oh, can you play that sometime?
Let me make sure it's the right song. I will. I'm sorry, not Chiquita. Juanita Banana. Juanita Banana by the Peels. And it was 1966, and here it is.
In a little quiet town, just south of the Mexican border, there lived a lovely Juanita, a banana grower's daughter. She longed to sing at the opera, but her father laughed and made fun. Still, Juanita would sing each day in the fields, as soon as her work was done.
That's the one?
Yeah, that's the one.
All right. The gal is Gail Allen, and she was just a studio voice. And the guys were like Bill Spilka and Harvey Davis. I think there's somebody else, too. But the falsetto was definitely Gail Allen. And Tash Howard produced that song.
I got a kick out of that song. I got to get Boss Radio 66 to play it.
Okay, well, there you go. And Tash Howard, he produced, I think he wrote it as well. So, and of course, what inspired that was, you know, basic classical music, Verdi. And so that was the deal. And it was sampled in one of my favorites, Batman and His Grandmother, which we played for you.
Yep.
So that's it.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's what it is, the Peels.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
All right. By the way, this song was covered by Freddie and the Dreamers. I bet. Yeah, I swear to God, I'm not making that up. I bet it's on YouTube, and I bet it's just worse. All right. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me tonight.
Always. All right. So good to hear from Victor. All right. 888-876-5593. Poor Gail. But you know, hopefully the session paid well. 888-876-5593. We'll get to Fran. We got Eduardo and hopefully you two on WGN Radio. James, well, there it is. That is number five of Jimmy Hughes' six pack. And Lily Mae Bell, 1955 on Rama. Fine choice. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. Fran is in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Hey, Raleigh. I really love Jimmy P's six packs. I want to say that. I hear a lot of things I haven't heard either. I haven't heard in a long time, or I've never heard. And then there's somebody who's sending you requests. You were playing a lot of them last night. I don't know if I've ever heard her actually on the show. I think you said her name is Evelyn.
Yes, it is Evelyn in Michigan, and she never calls, but she'll send an email occasionally, and she's got good taste.
She does. I wish she'd call. I'd love to hear from her. Because,
me too.
I've heard some songs that she requested that I've never heard, and I've got to find them. It's like, I like this, you know.
Yeah.
I like it when you play songs that I've never heard
that you want to hear again. Yes, I understand.
That I want to hear again. Yeah.
But, yeah. I loved
it. I haven't heard. I never want to hear again.
Well, exactly. But that Jamaican song was the one that I really was glad she requested, because I don't hear that often at all. And it doesn't sound Jamaican. The Solettes, Find Somebody New.
Oh, that was good. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, that sounds as American as it gets.
She's got some interesting choices. I'd love for her to call sometime.
Me
if
too.
You're listening.
Yeah, that absolutely. You know, normally when people will write and not call, I just ignore their emails because the show's done on the air. But she has such interesting taste that I play her stuff.
Yeah, how can you? I'm glad that she's emailing in her request, but I would love to to hear from her and how she, you know, knows all these wonderful songs. But and you were talking about Weird Al, and the only person I know of, and there might have been others, who sued Weird Al, and I don't remember what the outcome of it was, Billy Joel, because he did a song called It's Still Billy Joel to Me.
Right. I forgot about
and,
that.
Yeah, I can kind of see, in a way, because it's pretty, it trashes him pretty big time. But if you're going to be, my opinion anyway, is that if you're a public figure, you're putting yourself out there for, not only for adulation and for the people who like you, but you're putting yourself out there to be parodied and so forth. And it's kind of like, you know, I always wanted to make a hit record, and I had some discouragement. I had a chance, and I was discouraged by my so-called ex-boyfriend. But anyway, that's a whole long story. But if I were, you know, making records and somebody spoofed it, I would, in a way, I'd be flattered.
I'm not sure. You know, I had heard that that as well, that Billy Joel certainly didn't like it, but I don't know if it ever made it to court.
I don't know. I heard that he sued him, but I never heard what the outcome was.
Yeah.
But isn't there some kind of a parody law?
Yes, that, you know, yes. If you're... And absolutely, when I mentioned this, Rick Dees, when he asked for the rights to When Sonny Gets Blue, and the widow of the songwriter turned it down, he used it anyway, When Sonny Sniffs Glue. So
that was funny.
Yeah, right, it was. So she sued him, and this one went up the courts, and he won. It fit the rules for a parody. The rules are fairly specific in terms of when can you and when can't you. So, it was good that that case came up, because before that, I don't think it was really set forth in terms of what qualifies. But he won.
But, you know, he's done so many people's songs, and if I did a song, I would be flattered to have Weird Al Yankovic parody my song.
Yeah, well, like I say with the Madonna thing, the story I had heard, and I don't know if it's true or it's not, but that it was Madonna who suggested it, that she had told a friend who I guess knew Weird Al that, when is he going to do a song on me? How about Like a Virgin? He could do Like a Surgeon. And supposedly that's the story. I don't know.
I kind of believe that, having heard her and read a bunch of interviews with her, she sounds like a pretty smart lady who is kind of had the Marilyn Monroe problem, where, you know, people thought she was kind of a, you know, dummy and an airhead, but she really is very smart, and she's got a lot of business savvy as well. I mean, you know, and I could see her having a sense of humor about that.
Oh, absolutely. But as far as I'm concerned, she's marketer of the year. Madonna is not a particularly attractive woman, and she has sold herself over the years to be a sex symbol, for God's sakes, and pulled it off. So I would hire this woman to promote anyone.
I even thought she, because I didn't know she wasn't really
that good-looking woman. She is not attractive. No. But, man, I'll tell you what, she pulled it off. And if I had a product, she'd be at the top of my list if I was looking for a promoter. I respect the hell out of that. So.
I do too. And, you know, some of the career moves she made were just brilliant. But, you know, so I could see her, you know. I would think that she would have the attitude, you can talk about me as long as you spell my name right. You know?
Well, no, absolutely. All right, so I looked up the Rick Dees case, because I know that that came out in court, and one of the problems was Congress did not really put forth what the rules were, quote unquote, you know, and left it open to all sorts of things. So in this particular case, the judge kind of restated the Congressional Doctrine, Section 107, where you had to consider the purpose and character of the use, including whether such was of commercial nature or as nonprofit, the nature of the copyrighted work, the amount and substantiality of the portion used in relation to the copyrighted work as a whole, and the effect of the use upon the potential market for the value of the copyrighted work. Now, that last sentence is golden. That's what it is,
right,
more than anything. Because, you know, anybody who's ever brought a lawsuit will probably be told before it goes to trial, you know, you can't sue for hurt feelings. You know, you've got to be able to show damages. And,
And I mean, it, you know, this song really put down Billy Joel, so I kind of get it in a way, but.
Yeah, but I
don't know.
I would think if that did go to court, I'm pretty sure it didn't, because if there had been a trial, I'd be able to find that, and I never have found it. But I heard the same thing, that he was upset. But the deal is that if it went to court, there's no way he could prove that it was causing him financial damage. Just the opposite.
No.
You know, it would have been financial gain. So,
sure. Yeah, so, that's why I say, if I made a hit record and Weird Al decided to, satirize it, I'd be flattered.
Well, exactly.
Oh, yay.
So I'm pretty sure that didn't make it to an actual trial of any sort. Although some of those music trials, like we've talked about before, I can't believe George Harrison lost to He's So Fine. You know, but that was.
I hate to disagree, but I can kind of see that. He's so fine, my sweet Lord.
Yeah, I know, but
hallelujah.
Yeah.
Doolang, doolang, doolang. I'm sorry to sing on the.
No, that's wonderful, actually. But yeah, but then we're getting into how many other songs does it sound like? You know, I don't hear anything in it that's that novel. But regardless, the judge ruled, and it was not a jury trial; it was a judge trial. And he ruled. But the Supreme Court, when they've weighed in on fair use and all this stuff, when we talk parodies, is under fair use. The horrible part was the court said fair use is a mixed question of law and fact. Oh, good. You know, so right there.
Oh, there.
Yeah, it's clear as mud. And so
I was just going to say, let's muddy the waters a little bit more.
That's it. Yeah. And so that court case that Rick Dees had filed, at least we got the four statements, and the last one being the real pivotal one, I think. I don't think Weird Al has been sued, actual suit, you know, as far as anybody bringing a suit.
So, well, and especially because, I mean, everybody knows that's what he does. You know, and so although I like some of the songs that don't get played much, like Wanna Buy Me a Condo.
Right. Okay, so I just looked this up, by the way, and it says Weird Al has never been successfully sued. All right, now that's interesting, because that implies that maybe he's been sued unsuccessfully. And he's not been sued for parody content. But he filed a lawsuit against his former label, alleging he was cheated out of his royalties. The bottom line is that he's been out of court because apparently he obtains permission on the stuff he does. He proactively asks for permission. And so that's the deal. And there was the Amish Paradise. There was a misunderstanding in the 90s. Yankovic believed he had permission from Coolio to parody Gangsta's Paradise, which was Amish Paradise. But it turned out the permission came from the label. Hang on a minute. Don't go away, because
I'm
up against the news on WGN Radio.
It's a shame.
WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. That's the Spinners, 1970 on VIP. I remember when that came out, I remember exactly where I was the first time I heard it, driving on the North-South Expressway in Dade County. And I just, my heart stops. That is a great record. And by 1970, I wasn't saying that about too many records. But man, I heard that and just loved it. And it never got old. So we're talking to Fran and Austin. And I looked up here. I got to find it now. Apparently, I mentioned that Weird Al had always asked for permission. Well, apparently he was turned down 10 times.
Who turned him down? I'm curious.
Well, it's funny why. Paul McCartney. And wait till you hear the reason. He wanted to parody the Wings song Live and Let Die, but Paul McCartney turned him down because Weird Al wanted to do Chicken Pot Pie. Paul was a good sport, he said. I would love for you to do this, but can you make it about something other than chicken? Because I am a vegetarian. I don't want to condone the eating of animal flesh.
Oh, my God. Oh, give me a break.
So Weird Al said it just wouldn't work with tofu pot pie.
No,
yeah, and so Weird Al plays bits and pieces during his live performances, but never got the permission from McCartney to record it, so he hasn't. Okay, Eminem turned him down, and Weird Al wanted Couch Potato to be the first single off the new album Poodle Hat. The song was a parody of Eminem's Lose Yourself from 8 Mile. And Eminem gave him permission to parody the song and use it as an album cut, but denied use as a single or a music video. And he said he was afraid that it would detract from his legacy. All right. Then there's Prince. Prince denied Weird Al 20 times, starting in the 1980s. And he said, and I haven't approached him in 20 years. Yeah, he just wasn't into parody. The two that he really wanted to spoof were Kiss in 1999, neither of which Prince would go for. Then there was Jimmy Page. Jimmy Page declined to allow a Led Zeppelin song to be turned into a polka medley. However, he did allow Weird Al to do an interpolation of Black Dog in Trapped in the Drive-Thru, which actually is a parody of R. Kelly's Trapped in the Closet. And he said, actually, it was quite a coup that I was able to get Led Zeppelin to let me record anything at all. And he said, they're famous for not letting anybody do it. Coolio. All right, Coolio, and this was interesting. This was a real misunderstanding because he got permission from the record label, but apparently the record label didn't go to Coolio. And so the song in question was Gangsta Paradise, which, of course, Weird Al did as Amish Paradise.
Yeah, he did. I like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the deal was that Coolio was not okay with it. But since the label had said it was okay, and in fact, during the recording of it, they said, we're going to iron things out with them. Don't worry. So he proceeded. He finished the album. And Coolio eventually apologized to Weird Al about the misunderstanding. And he said, it was a stupid thing for me to do. One of the dumbest things I did in my career. And meanwhile, of course, parody falls under fair use. So Amish Paradise is other. Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson gave Weird Al permission to spoof Bad and Beat It into Fat and Eat It, but he denied consent to parody Black or White. Michael wasn't quite so into it because he thought Black or White was more of a message song, and he didn't feel comfortable with a parody of that one, and he said, I completely understood that. And so he never recorded the spoof, which was a Snack All Night for Black and White. He does perform it live from time to time.
Oh, I would love to hear some of those.
Yeah, me too. Weezer. Okay, I don't know Weezer, but apparently in 1996...
Oh, they did that song. Something looks like just like Buddy Holly. And yeah, right. Mary Tyler Moore. Yeah.
Absolutely. So there you go. And, of course, Weird Al wanted to do it as the alternative polka. And he had a snippet of Buddy Holly in there, and apparently they had it completely recorded. They were about to do the final mix. Weezer's management called, and what it was the writer of the song decided that he didn't want a song in any medley after all. So at the last minute, after the thanks had already been printed on the CD and cassette booklets, they had to physically cut the song out of the medley. And Weird Al sounds kind of bum about it. It sounded really cool. So there is, apparently, there's an unmixed and unmastered version. And it's just 23 seconds, but it's online for free. Daniel Powder and Weird Al wanted to spoof Bad Day with a parody, You Had a Bad Date. But the recording artist denied Yankovic permission to record it at first. And then literally the day before we went into the studio to record White and Nerdy, we got a call saying he changed his mind and wanted to do it after all. But by then, I had to inform him the train had left the station. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Jamie Blunt, after receiving Jamie Blunt's blessing to parody his song, You're Beautiful, Weird Al recorded and planned to release it on his 2006 album, Straight Outta Linwood. Blunt's label, Atlantic Records, said that we deny it. It might hurt his brand and public image. So Weird Al released White and Nerdy, a spoof of Chamillionaire's Ridin' as the first single instead, and then released Your Pitiful online for free. Oh, yeah, Lady Gaga.
Oh, I like White and Nerdy. That's a good song. That's funny.
Yeah, we have Lady Gaga as the final one on the list. And apparently 2011, Weird Al jumped through a number of hoops wanting to get approval for Born This Way into a parody called Perform This Way for the 14th studio album. Her management team demanded to hear the track before granting permission. Yankovic wrote and sent them the lyrics. They responded, she actually needs to hear it. Otherwise, the answer is no. Even though we thought Gaga should know what the song sounded like, because it was, after all, her song, Weird Al recorded it and sent it over. The answer her camp said was no. So he posted the song on YouTube anyway. And he said, after putting my Lady Gaga parody on YouTube this morning and announcing that it wouldn't be on my next album because Gaga didn't approve it, there was a huge outpouring of disappointment from the internet. Apparently, the fact she didn't approve it was news to Lady Gaga. It turned out that Gaga's manager made the decision to say no without talking to her. Gaga loved it, so it ended up on Yankovic's album, with all of his proceeds from the song going to the human rights campaign Gaga would later call the parody empowering and a rite of passage. So there you go.
I was surprised when you said her, because she really, I think she's great. She's got a good sense of humor about herself.
Exactly.
And, I love the stuff she did with Tony Bennett and the way that she, I don't know, she just seems like a class act to me.
Yeah, I agree. And she didn't know.
But,
so a pox on her management team.
I have a request for a Weird Al song that never gets heard, and that's The Check's in the Mail.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've got to write this down so I won't forget. In the Mail, Weird Al, Fran. Okay, we got it.
All right.
All right, thanks. Thanks for calling.
What is Weird Al doing now? Oh, never mind. I'll talk to you next
time.
No,
by the way, he's just doing what he does. You know, he's still active.
Oh, I haven't heard any of things from him in many years.
I'm not sure he's recording anything, but I think he's still making appearances. I'll have to look.
And then the guy who was just talking said Dr. Demento has a station?
Not that I know of.
Oh, because he was saying I was listening to the Dr. Demento station, and I haven't looked on the infamous YouTube.
Yeah, it's probably something online, but it's certainly not anything he's condoning, because he made it clear he was retiring. Okay, we've got the Weird Al 2026 tour, and apparently there are several dates available. So, yeah, I guess he's still doing it, and not expensively either. Some tickets are $27. So just what I paid for the sandwich I didn't get. So let's see. May 26th, he Weird Al Yankovic with Puddles Pity Party at the Hard Rock in Hollywood, Florida, at the Seminole Hard Rock. The 27th, he's at the Hertz Arena in Estero, Florida. Weird Al with the Puddles Pity Party. I guess what's the tours. The 29th, he's at Kia Center in Orlando. May 30th, he is in Greenville, South Carolina. The 31st, he's in Alpharetta, Georgia, Atlanta suburb, and Augusta, Georgia on June 2nd, Savannah on the 3rd, Greensboro on the 5th, Charleston, West Virginia on the 6th, Norfolk on the 7th, North Charleston, South Carolina on the 9th, Pikeville, Kentucky, who the hell wants to go there, on the 10th, all right, and on and on. on and on it goes. So yeah, we can go all through the country because he's absolutely.
Wow!
Everywhere.
I wish he'd come to Austin. I would save my money and go to that. I would, you know.
Yeah, let's see if there's any Austin dates. I haven't seen anything Texas on this actually, but yeah, Austin.
Yeah.
State. All right, let's.
Of course, you know Austin. They might not. They you know.
Okay.
They might.
Okay. Now, where's the Moody Center? Is that in Austin?
I think it is in the Moody Center. Where's the Moody Center? Oh, he's of course he's not hearing me because he's on the headphones and delay. I think it's in Houston. Oh, it's downtown? It is?
Well,
okay, when's he going to be?
Well, you can go Tuesday, September 22nd.
Wow. Okay, yes. I'll have to keep that in mind and save my money and I'll get out of my house for that. That's saying something.
Yeah, you betcha. So that's the deal. Now that you know, yes, it's on Robert Dedman Drive in Austin.
Okay,
I have no
all
idea
right.
where that was. There was no Robert Dedman Drive when I was there. Maybe he died after I left. All right. So anyway.
Don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Weird names for streets around here.
Oh, tell me about it. yes, they also have VIP meet and greet backstage tour packages too. God knows what that costs, but check it out.
Oh man, I'd love to meet him. I just, you know.
Well, do it. Let's see if they tell me how much the backstage is. Ticketmaster, so who knows, but let's see what I need to know. All right, I accept all these conditions. What are the conditions? It's the lowest price, more than I'd like, but $62.90, but for pretty much everything.
Okay, so that'd be $120.
Yeah, all right. Here's some for $74. How about this section right here? Oh, yeah. Well, if you want to be right there in front of the stage, it's $230. All right. That's only 38 tickets, but, you know.
Okay, yeah. For the two of us, I'd do that. I'll start saving my money now. Maybe
yeah.
I can.
Yeah. Yeah, meanwhile, I'll look around and see if I can't find more about that meet and greet thing. God knows what they charge for those.
Yeah, that would be a blast.
Yeah.
So I write parodies myself. Some of them I wouldn't be able to sing on your show, but
or on any show. Yes, understood.
Right, but in fact, I had one for you. But the fact that some of the callers that I mentioned in the show don't call anymore, so
that says something right there. Yeah. All right.
But,
well, good deal. Well, yeah.
Right.
So you got something to look forward to, Weird Al in Austin.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal. Sure thing. Okay. Bye.
All right.
So,
bye.
I figured it'd be on the list somewhere when I was seeing like Pikeville, Kentucky. Yeah, he'll make it to Austin. All right. So 888-876-5593. Eduardo in Tampa. What's the latest?
Hey, Robbie. Well, just finishing up this week with the conference at JW. I mean, it's been a good experience.
Good.
So. They're going to have, they had the dinners. Tomorrow, I think they're going to have like a puppy show.
Oh, good.
Saturday, they got the boat cruise. And they're all gone Saturday because Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday.
Yes, of course.
So they're all going to be back. Yeah.
Yes.
So they're not going to have that on Sunday.
No. Nope. They'll be back in their respective locations. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I got to ask you, I think next week, I don't know if you and John got an open date. They got that travel show, I think, in your area.
Oh, really? I don't
know. Yeah.
Well, where is it? Do you know? I'll have to look it up. And
in the same area as where we almost met at Phoenix Convention Center.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that may be a little more. That may be a little more walking than John is up for doing. But let me check it out. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, at the Phoenix Convention. Wait a minute. That's the wrong state. All right. So let's. That's absolutely the wrong state. All right. February 14th and 15th. That might be the right state.
Right.
All
there
right.
you go.
All right. How about that?
And Fort Lauderdale is having theirs. I think towards the end of the month. So I might like rent a car.
Yeah.
And head down over there.
Yeah. All right. America's favorite travel show. How about that? All right.
Yeah, it's all part of that same city tour.
Yeah. Well, good. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, just in case you guys have an open day, you know,
yeah.
If you're available. So.
Yeah, and if we have the energy to walk.
There you go, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a question. Do you think, because I was just looking over Pizza Hut is closing and Bahama Breeze is closing. Do you ever see a day where you don't see a department store?
Well,
like a Macy's.
Actually, that's a good question. One of the things that plagues department stores is the same consolidation that has hit many industries. You know, everything's Macy's or Dillard's now, period. Used to be there were tons of local stores everywhere, but they've all been snapped up under those umbrellas. So there's a lot of debt service in these companies, and that's a factor.
Okay.
But one of the other things is that, yes, the mall slowdowns, you know, you're just not, the ones that are still open,
sure.
You're just not seeing the kind of foot traffic you used to. Now, you got a lot of them that are smart that are pushing their websites as well. You know, so you can order from Macy's.com or Nordstrom.com or any of those, you know, and that will
right.
help. But I think there are things that will always be the domain of brick and mortar, like shoes, for instance. Yeah, I know there's Zapatos and all that kind of stuff, Zappos, but the bottom
okay.
line is that most people want to try the shoes on. You know, so there are things that are still tactile. So I don't think that's going away. But the idea of department stores in general, yeah, I think that's being badly hurt.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I really miss them. I like it when there's actually one here in the Tampa area, Fresh Market, where they got the coffee. I remember Bed and Beyond had that thing, too.
Yeah. But those really aren't department stores of that type.
No, no.
You know, one of the things.
But sometimes maybe they use that just to like attract the customer in there, you know.
Yeah, but the thing that's happening now that I just don't understand, it's beyond my comprehension on every level. Hang on a minute, I'll tell you all about it. Don't go away. Stay where you are.
Okay.
On WGN Radio.
Well, that's all right, Mama. Well, that's all right, Mama. That's all right for you. That's all right, Mama. Just any way you do, that's all right. That's all right. That's all right, Mama. She done told me, Papa done told me too. Son, that guy you fooling with, she ain't no good for you. But that's alright, that's alright. That's alright now, Mama, any way you do. That's all right. That's all right now, Mama. Anyway, do.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And Marty wanted to hear Elvis doing That's All Right, Mama. That's take two, actually. It's an alternate take, notable because it's been on a lot of CDs as far as that goes. And what's nice about that, and I hope that Marty liked it, is how well it showcases Scotty Moore and Bill Black and all the acoustic-driven rockabilly style that was developed by them and more. So that's the alternative take, one of them. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, and Isaac is on the south side. What's happening tonight, Isaac?
Hi. Sorry, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, so two things. First of all, Liza Minnelli, what happened to her? Why? I mean, I know that she's sick, but I remember seeing her at the Oscars. I see that she's releasing a book, and I'm like, she's not going to go on a press tour because she's sick, unable to speak sick, because she's supposed to be giving a book talk in California or something. I just want to know what the deal with it.
Well,
and, but
She's still alive, obviously. She's 79 years old. She lives in Los Angeles, and she's had a lot of health issues, encephalitis, but also a lot of chronic back pain from all the years of dancing and stuff like that. She's had a few hip replacements, and she's also had vocal cord polyps, but that, I understand, was successfully handled. And, of course, we don't need to talk about addiction, but at times she's using a wheelchair for mobility. But she's worked on a documentary on her, which I don't know if it came out, but that was a couple of years ago. Liza, a truly terrific, absolutely true story. And, you know, and she was making a couple of years ago appearances with people like Lady Gaga. And that's the deal. So
her at this press, at this book tour, is that the first time she's going to be back out in public?
Yeah, I guess probably. She was at the Oscars in 2022. So, yeah. You know, that is, since then, I'm not sure how much she's been around, but I assume that she's going to do some promotion for the book tour. Now, it's interesting whether or not she'll be doing it in person or not. I don't know. But she's definitely alive and also definitely with it. You know, there's okay. nothing.
That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, there's nothing okay. about it that I've heard where she had any cognitive period that was problematic. Okay. I haven't ever heard that about her. But
and by the way, you were right about silver. I did not sell the silver, and now it's going down to almost $75 an ounce. Yeah, very volatile.
Yeah,
My last thing is, are you familiar with Babs Gonzalez? Can you tell me anything about him? Or he came on a jazz program, and his music was really interesting, but I had never heard of him, and I was wondering why.
I don't know. Well, he's not alive. You know,
right.
He died long before there was ever an internet. He's been dead probably going on 50 years. So, you know, when you say never heard of him, well, probably because he didn't get the play, you know, after he died, like in 1980 or whatever. And he was, but he was born, you know, before 1920. So he was older.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And so he was bebop. And he also wrote books having to do with jazz. So that you can probably find that. And so there's a lot of, you know, he was very vocal, and I don't mean musically vocal, but he was almost like the spokesperson for the hipster world. And so, okay. You know, it was, he's originally, I think he's from Newark. And
did he have a lot of success with music or?
Well, he worked with some of the big bands like Lionel Hampton or Charlie Barnett, and bebop's an interesting world. Initially, you know, he didn't even know what Charlie Parker was trying to do, didn't understand, and it was Dizzy who showed him, you know, the chords and the melodic lines and all that stuff. But, you know, he was mostly, interestingly, a trained pianist and a trained drummer, but he preferred singing. Saying it's easier to sing and it's less tiring. And so, you know, he had a group, Babs Three Bips and a Bop. And that was that was all in the 40s. It was on shellac, you know, those 78 RPM stuff. So he was on Apollo.
Hearing the, just a little bit that I heard on the jazz radio, I would have thought that he was way more modern than that. I would have been thinking like the 60s.
No, and he was definitely a jazz singer.
No wonder I haven't heard of him.
And, yeah. Ooh Papa Da was some of his scat singing, and that was pretty big. And in fact, I think Dizzy Gillespie covered Ooh Papa Da.
I can see Tina Turner covered that as well.
Well,
is that the same song?
I think you're thinking of Ooh Poo Poo Doo, which is which is actually okay. Now you're talking New Orleans, but no, it's not the same. But anyway, okay. you got a lot of people who would wax sentimental about him, but probably he was more of a cult figure. You asked if he was successful. I would say more of a cult figure than a big success. Okay. but certainly a big influence behind the scenes in the jazz world, though okay. for, you know, some casual fans probably would say who, but, you know, he had a nightclub for a while.
Thank you for explaining that, Robin.
Yeah, he had a nightclub, I think, in Harlem, in that Sugar Hill district, I think, and so he had that. And the jazz players loved to come there. In fact, they wouldn't make much money, but they liked to play it. And so that was. And I'll tell you who promoted that club was Dorothy Kilgallen.
Really? Yes. Oh, wow.
Yes. But eventually it closed, and it closed because there was a labor dispute. And
really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was. It was real. Real big thing. Like I think the guy who had the landlord was asking for a bigger cut of the club, and I think that they threw his piano out the window. I mean, it was just not, you know, treated like that.
Oh, wow.
And then
only reason.
Yeah, I was going to say Gonzalez went to Paris after that.
The only reason that I know who Dorothy Kilgallen is because I watched an entire. This guy gave a whole. He wrote a book on how Dorothy Kilgallen knows who killed JFK.
Right, and got killed for maybe, it. Yeah, got killed for it herself.
Yes, yeah. And it was such a... he didn't have too much information. Like, the most investigative thing that he had was that he had a interview from her hairdresser.
Yeah.
And her hairdresser was like, she had to have been killed because she would have taken her makeup off before... She did anything. And I was like, bro, how is that anything to go off of?
Yeah.
And he wrote a whole book off of it. And I bring it up to my friends, and of course they don't know who Dorothy Kilgallen is.
Well, I'll tell you, it's fun to look at that on YouTube because all those old What's My Line shows are there. And, I love that because they were dressed to the nines. I mean, you know, this was a big deal back then compared to how they appear on game shows today. But, yeah.
So, thank you so much, Riley.
Always good to talk to you. Okay, thanks.
You as well.
Okay, bye. Yeah, so that was, Babs Gonzalez, certainly, like I say, more well-known with people who were around at the time and knew him from a player behind the scenes than in front, but he certainly did a lot, and the clubs were pretty darn good, actually. All right, 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, Chris in Greenwood, South Carolina. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, Raleigh?
All right, you tell me.
Nothing much. You remember, like, back in the day when NOAA Weather Radio had real voices?
Sure.
Besides those computerized voices.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish they still did those to this day. And, you know, like, they had a deep voice that does the safety rules, like, in the home, your best haven for tornado is a basement below ground level. Remember that?
Yeah. The reason that they did that, and there are obviously text-to-speech systems, which you've heard, but it all had to do with their mission of wanting to ensure that the delivery of the message would be instantaneous, 24/7. So when there were weather warnings that would be across multiple different transmitters simultaneously, that was the easy way to do it. It eliminated the manual recording time, and the meteorologists could focus on what they were doing in forecasting. So it was really speed and efficiency more than anything, and the reliability, because unlike the human staff, synthesized voices don't need breaks. And so that's the deal. And they can scale it. And, I hate to say it, but I understand exactly why they're doing it. And these days, they're not purely robotic. And I think that probably will improve over time.
Yeah, and, you know, they relay it to TV and radio stations, too.
Well, of course.
Non-NOAA weather radio related.
Well, no, of course. I mean, that's part of your obligation as a licensee, of course. That's all coming through the EAS system.
Yeah, and back then, they didn't have them three SAME chirps. They used the 1050 hertz tone, and then they read the message and go back to the programming.
Right. Well, almost everything is automated these days, and there's only a few companies that are making the index that, you know, are processing that information. So it's pretty universal what those tones are.
Yeah, you know, the major cities like Chicago, New York, and L.A., their weather radio call signs start with KWO.
Mm-hmm.
And they you got WXJ, WXK, and, you know, like they have three call letters and then the numbers, either two or three digits.
Right. Right. And, you know, for most people, they don't care about what the call sign is. All they care about is hearing the message. And the first one was they nicknamed that voice Paul. I don't know if they still use Paul on everything, but you know they work on coming up with better sounding voices. I think a while ago they had updated the voices on that, and in fact it was Greenville Spartanburg that was doing the test. And so,
And it's part of my weather radio station.
Yeah.
They're the first ones in the country to have that new voice in 2016.
And what do you
Because
think?
We had the Tom voice and the Donna voice, and
right.
then
right.
they got rid of that and put the new voice in.
And what did you think?
I didn't like it at first, but I was starting to like it because, you know, he would start to mispronounce things.
Right. Well, yeah, it is text-to-speech, so a lot's going to go wrong with that, of course.
Yeah, and, you know, like back during when TV stations sign off, they would relay weather radio voices instead of doing that long, pure reference tone.
Mm-hmm.
They would show the live weather map and play the audio.
Well, there you have it. All right.
Yeah, that's more interesting, like the long tone waking up to it and all that. And, you know, access channels on cable use that too, like during their off-air times when they show bulletin boards.
Sure. Well, I would think, actually, when you get back to the automated voices, the text-to-speech, as time goes on in the not-too-distant future, it's going to sound much more human than it does right now. They're making leaps and gains with that, and it's not the way it was just a few years ago where it was funny to listen to. There are some pretty good things going on there. And it's not the Weather Channel's main mission, of course, but I think you'll see an improvement.
Yeah, and they operate on the 162 frequency. They don't be on, like, AM or FM radio. You got to have a special receiver.
Oh, of course.
Like a VHF.
No, of course. That's all the public service monitors. You know, my weather is 162.500, right, where my public service monitor was 159.2025, although it isn't anymore because I'm the LP1 now. All right, so that's the deal. Yes, all true.
Yeah.
All right. Good to talk
yeah,
to you.
Yeah, I love listening to the weather radio. Ain't nothing on the radio.
Well, there you go. Well, we knew someone was out there doing it, and it's like the early days of the Weather Channel. There were people who were watching it ad nauseum, even though it would repeat every 6.5 minutes. All right.
Yeah, because to me, the Weather Radio is the radio's version of the Weather Channel.
All right. Yes, absolutely. And the early Weather Channel days were great, and your travel forecast from Michelin and everything else. Yeah, I remember. All right. Thanks for calling.
Have a great weekend.
You too. All right. My weekend will be moving this studio. Yeah, when I get off the air here in about 9 minutes, I'm going to tear the rest of it apart. And if you hear me Monday for Monday Night Trivia, which I assume you will, by the way, that means I successfully put it back together. Always a challenge. All right. Cindy in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Yeah, I was going through. Thank you for taking my call. But anyhow, I was going through family pictures. I sent one box of it that I hadn't gone through to my cousin Jeanette. I just sent it to her. And then the other, she said in that box that I sent her, she found the four great, you know, my great aunt and my grand, you know, all of the four of the sisters' passports.
Mm-hmm.
From when they came from Hungary in 1910.
Mm-hmm.
So we're, you know, I don't know if I want those back or, no, just for her daughter. Her daughter could preserve that.
But then anyhow, and then I found, and then I looked through the other box I was going to send her. I did look through it, and I found a cardboard, like a thin cardboard football schedule from 1934, and it was a political advertisement for a election for, what was his name, Emmett Byrne,
okay,
running for judge.
All right.
And I looked him up. He, you know, he was a congressman and all of this and that. And I didn't really, you know, my cousin looked at it and he said, well, may, you know, and he was from Evanston, give it to the Evanston Historical Society. But then, and then he wasn't related to Jane Byrne. And I always wondered why Jane Byrne, like, where her, you know, there was nothing ever said about her husband or, like, if she had a husband. And then the I Googled it, and her husband died in 1959. He was a pilot in the military.
You're talking about William Byrne, where she got the name from. She got married after that again to Jay McMullen.
Oh, she did. Oh, I didn't know.
That was much later. That was like in 78, and he was her press secretary, and they were married, you know, a while, I think. Yeah, but yeah, her first husband was William Byrne, a Marine pilot.
Yeah, and then now what I decided to do with it, it's like in the shape of a football. It's dated 1934 for the election. It's like a Big Ten football schedule on the other side from 1934.
Okay.
I mean, that's really cool. So I wrote out the letter and put the stamp on. I'm sending it to my business law teacher with a letter, because I've been in his office for consultation over my mother's will and trust and all that years and years ago. And he has a whole collection in his office of, like, old-fashioned, like, original, like, office machines. And I'm sure he has a whole collection of, like, Chicago paraphernalia. And I just said, your former student, and, you know, I don't know. I think you probably would know what to do with something. I think he would want that. I mean, I don't know what to do with it. I mean, I don't. I mean, you know, I wrote out, I'm going to go down to the mailbox and mail it. But then the other thing I wanted to say to you, the reason I said, like, how do you know if it is, you know, I mean, it's just like, how do you know if it's true about what the FDA is saying? I mean, it probably is, but their budget was cut so much. How do you know that they could even be effective?
Well, it's not only that, because obviously you're talking about something that has a political connotation to it as well. You know, they always say the biggest revolving door is the FDA and Monsanto, and there was a certain amount of truth to that for many years. You know, so you've got it in many different layers. So I think, you know, if you are concerned about any one thing that the FDA is representing, you can usually independently research it and see what's going on.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, and I found the picture of my cousin Audrey Primadonna, who got a diamond heart necklace because she was married on Valentine's Day. And I had the ugliest picture at her wedding. I found the picture of my aunt and uncle and me and my mother. And my father wasn't even in the picture, and I just looked so horrible with my glasses. I don't know.
Well, if you have family members who would like that stuff, by all means, give it to them. And otherwise, it probably has no other value. I know years ago, my birth mother gave me all the history of my birth relatives. And, you know, I carted it around a few locations. But then on one move, I just said to John, I don't want this stuff. And, you know, we just pitched it. So it depends whether it means something to you. If it meant something to me, I would have kept it.
Well, yeah, I have pictures of my uncle worked for the railroad in Indiana,
sure,
like seasons, and I have pictures of him as a bon voucher sitting in the office.
Sure. Well, keep what you like and toss what you don't. And if you have other people in your family you think might like it, by all means, share it. I wouldn't spend much time thinking about it.
And I have a picture of him when he was like, you know, professional portrait of him when he was a child. Mm-hmm. And then I found a picture of my his wife, my aunt, you know, my mother's sister, Aunt Gertrude, when she was 6 months old. Professional photographer.
Well, you know, Cindy, every family can talk about this. I don't think there's anything unusual to what you're saying. Every family has their history and their memories. And again, what brings you warmth to your heart, you keep. If there's somebody else in your family that wants something that you don't want, you give it. And the rest of it, you just toss.
Yeah, I guess I'll give the rest of it, I think, you know, to my cousin, and her daughter could do what she wants.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, they knew, you know, they all lived in Florida together, and her daughter, you know, that would be my cousin has a lot of memories.
Well, you, by the way, have ended the show, so I'm glad you sorted that out.
Okay.
Talk to you later. All right, and that pretty much is close to a wrap. Apologies to Chuck in Rockford, and Eduardo called back. Apologies to Eduardo, too. We didn't get there, meant to. But, yeah, time moves on. All right, so the new studio, Monday night, on this location, and we'll see how good I am at putting it together. If you don't hear me Monday night, you'll know why. And if you're wondering what fast food establishment it was that caused me to be almost late for the show, well, you can read it on the website. And so on top of that, that's a wrap. And we thank Adam for keeping us on the air, and we thank John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank all of you who called. That's what makes the show a pleasure to do, and talk to you next week right here on WGN Radio.